We're going to come this morning to think about the patience of God. We're coming towards the end of the series that we've been looking at, mostly on Sabbath evenings, on a portrait of God. And here is a really important quality. And it was just highlighted this week on television. There was an interview between a couple who owned a B&B, and that B&B, they were closing it down because they had been taken to court and they had been sued by a homosexual couple who had come to stay. Now, this couple in their bed and breakfast didn't allow anyone who wasn't married. Didn't matter if they were male and female. Didn't matter. Didn't, because the B&B was their house, they said, no, look, we're Christians and we don't want people engaged in wrong behaviour in our house, under our roof. We are answerable to God. And they'd been taken to court by this. They hadn't been taken to court by anybody else in 28 years until this particular couple took them to court. And they were being interviewed on television, they were going to the High Court or the Supreme Court to appeal things in the UK. And they were being interviewed on ITV, and it was the morning programme. Alad Jones and Lorraine Kelly were interviewing them. Alad Jones said, as a Christian, the God you worship is a loving God, is a tolerant God. And if people are in a civil partnership, they're obviously in love, so what is wrong with them sharing a bed? And the lady, Mrs. Bull, Hazel Bull, or it might even be Hazel Mary Bull, she said, I think it's a myth to believe that entirely. He is a loving God, that's true. He's a forgiving God, but there is, and then Jones interrupts, and a tolerant one. Here's her response. He is a long-suffering God. He's not entirely tolerant, because the Bible is full of cases when he does finally bring judgment about. Here's this truth of God's patience being spoken of on television this week and spoken of in a context that lots of people need to hear it in. They believe, oh, God is love. And God is love. But God is a God who loves so passionately that he hates anything that would hurt and harm and destroy. And that is what sin is. And he's not going to tolerate sin. And yet, rather than simply destroy sinners, he is incredibly patient. But his patience, well, that's what we want to look at this morning. His patience is a key quality that we need to understand. Last time we saw that in God's mercy, God doesn't give us what we deserve. We deserve hell. But he doesn't send us there instantly. And then we saw God is gracious. And God gives us what we don't deserve. We don't deserve heaven, but he gives us heaven. Tremendous. But we need to look this morning at God's patience, because God's patience explains why there is a window of opportunity for us to find mercy and a window of opportunity for you and me to get to heaven. Sometimes people ask the question, why does God allow suffering? Or how could a God of love send people to hell? But really, there's a much better version of those two questions, a much more accurate version of those two questions. Because whenever people ask those questions, they're putting themselves at the center of everything. And they're measuring by their own standard, rather than God's standard. A much more realistic question is, why do sinful people enjoy so much pleasure in life for so long? And how come a holy God hasn't sent us all to hell already? Those are actually much more God-centered and realistic questions. The answer to those questions is, he's patient. He's patient. And As we look at Exodus 34, we looked at it last week, we have this great description that picks out God's qualities, some of them. It describes him as compassionate and gracious. It describes him as abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. But in the middle of it, it's described as slow to anger. And there's three things that we want to note about God's slowness to anger this morning, or God's patience. First of all, we want to see the greatness of God's patience. The greatness of God's patience. You young people, I'm sure some of your teachers are more patient than others. I'm sure some teachers fly off the handle quickly. I'm sure there's other teachers, and well, there's other teachers, and well, they're just hopeless. They never get angry, they never get cross about anything. You just trample over the top of them. At least we had teachers like that. But then there's other teachers, and they run a good class, but then somebody pushes them too far, and they say, no, that's enough. But you can see how great their patience has been. Or perhaps they're really patient with you as you struggle to learn something. Well, we want to think this morning about the greatness of God's patience. Sometimes we're in circumstances where we are forced to be patient. You're sick, or you're injured, you're hurt, and you just have to grin and bear it. And that patience is forced on us. But God isn't forced into being patient. Such patience in us is commendable. But it's not half as amazing as God's patience. God is slow to anger. He's long-suffering. Another word that's used for it in the Bible. He chooses to suffer long, not because he has to. If we're ill, we have to suffer for a long time. That's just what we have to do. We have to be long-suffering. God doesn't have to be. God does not have to tolerate sin. God could deal with it right now, like that. He is not short of power. God is not sitting like the batteries in my study in the charger, slowly charging up till they reach full power and then you can use them. God is not sitting in heaven going, oh, come on, come on. If I could just get a bit more power built up, then I could deal with those pesky humans. No. He could have dealt with us long, long ago. And that's what makes his patience incredible. Listen to Nahum 1 verse 3. And we'll have reason next week to come back to Nahum chapter 1. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power. Nahum saw the importance of putting those two together. Unless suddenly, yes, of course he's slow to anger because he's a bit weedy and pathetic. No, he is great in power. And that makes God's patience actually quite frightening, in a sense, because the only thing keeping people in this world from plunging headlong into hell is the patience of God. It's the only thing. God's patience. It's like a tiny thread holding somebody back from plunging down the cliff into the great chasm, the great deep of hell. And this little thread is holding them back. And what are they doing? Well, it's as if they're stuffing their faces with sin and bouncing on the thread. And they're testing God's patience. And they're jumping up and down. And they don't realize that they're the only thing holding them back is God's patience. That slender thread is holding them out of an eternity in hell. Wonder, is there anyone here? Wonder, any of the young people here? You're testing God's patience. Any of us here this morning testing God's patience? There's this slender thread holding us out of eternity, out of a lost eternity. God's great patience. And the astonishing thing is then that some people then turn around and not only do they gorge themselves with sin and test the patience of God that way, but it's as if they try to antagonize God and slash at the thread that is keeping them out of a lost eternity. Scripture is filled with examples of God's patience. We see it in Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve sin, he doesn't destroy them immediately. We see it in Genesis 6, where God does look at the earth and he says, enough. I am going to destroy it. I'm going to destroy it by a flood.
When?
In 120 years' time. He's going to wait 120 years. In my Bible reading this morning, I was in Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar, the proud king of Babylon, is given a dream. And in the dream, he is told and warned by God that unless he changes his ways, he will be cut down. In fact, he's not even warned that unless he changes, he's told he will be cut down. Like a huge tree being chopped down. And Daniel says to him, oh, maybe if you changed your ways, God would show mercy to you. Does Nebuchadnezzar change his ways? No. But God gives him 12 months. 12 months in which to do something. Dale Ralph Davis wrote, and I read it this morning, he writes in the commentary, he says, mercy loves to delay. Mercy loves to delay. Here's the greatness of God's patience in Scripture. We see it in Exodus. And we commented on it last week. These people that God rescued and brought out, and they have been fearful at every turn. They have grumbled at every turn. They have whinged and complained at every opportunity. And He's been patient with them. And then in Exodus 16 they say, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. They'd been rescued. They'd come out rich. And God is patient with them. Let no one doubt that God is patient. And it's a great patience. We see the greatness of God's patience in the fact that He gives warning after warning after warning. He sends prophet after prophet to His people to warn them. He sends prophet after prophet to people who aren't His people to warn them. He's like a father who says to his children when they're misbehaving and he's sitting in the chair and he says, don't make me have to get up. Don't make me get up to you. God says, don't make me get up to you. I'm going to get up. He's patient. He rises slowly. We see it in all the different warnings He gives to us. The world ignores His warnings. And yet He sends more warnings. More preachers. He sends storms and floods and sickness. And the world ignores. And Stephen Charnock says, when He sends these many judgments, He doesn't empty the quiver of His arrows. He doesn't pour in all His judgment at once. He puts in little to alert us and to awaken us. We see the greatness of His patience. We see the greatness of His patience in the multitude of sins that He is patient with daily. Peter thought he was doing something wonderful when he said to Jesus, should I forgive my brother 7 times? He's expecting a pat on the back. Jesus says, try 70 times 7. Think what God does. 7 billion people on the face of the earth. If they sinned once every day, only once, 7 billion sins He's patient with. Space of a week, 49 billion sins He is patient with. In the space of a year, 2,500,000,000 sins. It's been 2,000 years since Christ came. Never mind how many years since the world was founded. How many sins has He been patient with? You see the greatness of His patience. You see the greatness of His patience. It's even more amazing when you consider that since the cross, every day, people trample over the Son of God. And His precious sacrifice, there He is, He's being held out to them. His precious sacrifice is being held out to billions of people. And they trample over the top of it. Don't need that, don't need that. And day by day the Father is patient with the people who scorn and trample over the blood of His Son. And He warns us in Hebrews 10, that how much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified Him, who has insulted the Spirit of grace. For we know him who said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. And again the Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God has warned us. And yet, he is patient. Those of us who are Christians, we just can't point the finger at those around us and say, ho, God is so patient with you. You're treading on thin ice. We can't say that. They are. But we just can't point the finger at them. For how patient has God been with us? We whom Christ has died for and who should know better. We sin. And we have been set free from the power of sin. We don't have to sin. But we do. And we return to our sins, as the Bible puts it, like a dog to its vomit. And what's God like? He's patient. Great is your patience. God's patience is great. Secondly, God's patience has a purpose. God's patience has a purpose. If it's not because God needs to build up his power reserves, why is it that God is patient? If he has all the weapons in his armory to ruin us instantly, why doesn't he? We read from 2 Peter 3, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. You know, and Peter warns his hearers. He says, some people scoff. And they say, oh, where's this coming? Where's this returning Jesus? Where's this Messiah who's going to come? You know, when you see people in cartoons, you see them in films, you know, and they mock them walking about with the end is nigh, you know, big signs on their, you know, over their shoulders. And they get mocked. Where's this coming? Where is this Jesus that's meant to return? Peter says, you know, you guys are mocking the very thing that is keeping you alive. God is giving you time not to mock, but to repent. Paul makes the same point in Romans 2. Peter seems to be referring to it later on in his letter. Refers to what Paul has said. And Paul says, do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance? God's kindness expressed to us in his tolerance and patience is to take us to repentance. If you're not yet putting your trust in Jesus, the reason that you're alive today is not because, well, that's what happens, you get up one day and you go on to the next. That's not the reason. The reason is because God has been kind and been patient with you and giving you yet another opportunity to turn to him. That's the point. You have a new day to turn to him. And we need to marvel at the days that God has given us. And those of us who are Christians, we need to marvel at the days that were given to us, the angels, when they sinned. We're not given a moment, not even a day, not an hour, not a minute to repent. God said, that's it. And in that moment, their destiny was sealed whenever they sinned. Here's what Stephen Charnock writes. He says, oh, admirable patience that would bear with me under so many sins, while he would not bear with the sinning angels for one. Isn't it amazing that he was so patient with you? I know it's amazing he was so patient with me. Glad I'm not an angel. One sin. Doomed. Oh, what a privilege it is to be a human. Let it be considered, Charnock writes, that God that would not wait upon the fallen angels one instant after their sin, nor give them a moment space of repentance, hath prolonged the life of many a sinner in the world to innumerable moments, to 420,000 minutes in the space of a year, to 8,400,000 minutes in the space of 20 years. The damned in hell would think it a great kindness to have but a year's, a month, nay, a day's respite as a space to repent in. We were given years and years in which to repent because God was patient. Oh, if you're a Christian, aren't you so thankful that He was so, so patient with you all those years against such provocation? This most glorious characteristic of God reminds us that God's judgment is not a vindictive thing. It's not a vindictive thing. Stephen Charnock again writes, "Who can charge God with an eagerness to revenge that sends so many heralds and so often before He strikes that He might be prevented from striking? Hereby He shows that He would be pleased rather with conversion than the destruction of men." He's far more pleased with the conversion of men than the destruction of men. What a patient God. He delays fitting the arrow to the bow. He fits the arrow to His bow of His judgment and He pulls it back slowly. But He doesn't take aim. And then He takes aim and then He holds that arrow and that bow. Then He hesitates again before releasing. All to give the sinner time to repent. How does this apply? Obviously, repent if you haven't already done so. That's why you're still breathing. God is giving you time. Turn from living your own way and come and put your trust in Jesus. You need to do it. You need to do it. That's why you're breathing. Is God is patiently and lovingly giving you another opportunity. Don't think that He hasn't noticed you. That He's not. That He's far too busy with organizing the world. That He hasn't noticed you. Or that you're too young perhaps for God to notice. That I'll do that later. Today's life is for today's repentance. Today's turning. And those of us who are Christians, God's patience has a purpose for us too. We can't think that we are so holy that God doesn't need to be patient with us. He's patient with you and me. Why? So that we can repent. So that we can turn from the sins that we have fallen back into. And that we can trust Him. He's patient with us. He hasn't let us fall into the mess that our sins deserve. Even as Christians, He holds back the consequences of our foolish thoughts and actions sometimes in His patience. And we need to repent. It's a daily feature of the Christian life. And for those of us who are Christians as well, there's great comfort in this too. For He's being patient with people that we love. How we should thank Him that He is patient. How we should worship Him for His patience. We have family, mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters, sons and daughters. We have cousins. We have friends and neighbors that have no time for Jesus. But God is giving them time. What a God. Daily they trample over the blood of Christ. They scorn Christ's great forgiving sacrifice. They don't want it. Not interested. I'll just live my life my way. And this kind God gives them time to turn to Him. God is being patient. But His patience has a purpose. And we need to help them see that they are dangling on a very slender thread. Because the final thing that we want to see this morning is that God's patience has a limit. God's patience has a limit. Remember reading a set of books on Genghis Khan, the great conqueror and warlord from Mongolia. When Genghis Khan would approach a city, he would pitch a great white tent outside the city. And as long as the tent was pitched, the people from that city could come out and find mercy. And they wouldn't be harmed. They would be spared, and they would be forgiven, and they would be brought into the great empire of Genghis Khan. Then the day would come. Sometimes it was the next day. In fact, I think the normal practice was that it was the next day that a red tent would go up. And when the red tent would go up, then there was still an offer of mercy. There was still an offer of mercy. The woman and children could come out, and they would be spared. He was patient with them. But then if they kept ignoring his offers of mercy, then a black tent would go up. That would mean destruction. Everyone would be destroyed. Well, our God pitches a tent, a white tent. And he has left it pitched not for a day, but for thousands of years. A white tent saying, come and find mercy. But in Exodus 34 we read, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. Yet there is a time when patience will cease. There is a time, and it's not because God has become impatient and that he's lost the temper. It's that now is the time for justice. No one will accuse him of being rash or hasty, but his patience will come to an end. Peter reminds us that God's judgment is going to come. He tells us the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. God's patience has a limit. It had a limit in the days of Noah. God said, my spirit will not contend with man forever, for he is mortal. His days will be 120 years. It had a limit in the days of the children of Israel. It had a limit in the days with the children of Israel in Egypt, with the Egyptians. It had a limit in the days of the children of Israel going into the promised land. It had a limit in the days of the children of Israel whenever they were eventually taken into exile. God's patience has a limit. And that limit isn't just a limit for the world, when he will come and judge the world. There's a limit for each of us, where God will draw a line in our lives and say, you've had enough. Enough opportunity to come to me. We spoke last week about the reservoirs of God's wrath that will be removed and the full weight of the wrath of God that will fall on those who haven't made use of God's patience. It was God's patience that is holding back all the wrath of God. And we need to help people see that God's patience has a limit. And they need to be ready to meet this God. The more patience God shows, the more guilty men and women and boys and girls will become. And the less excuse they will have. And the more patience is abused, the more people will have to answer for it on the day of judgment. Stephen Charnock, again, he's a Puritan author who writes in the character of God. And he says, justice will take account from the hands of patience and exact a recompense. Justice will ask patience, how patient have you been with these people? How much time have they had? And patience will explain the times that God held back his judgment to give time, and yet more time to them. Because there has been so much opportunity, judgment will be increased. Stephen Charnock again puts it vividly. He says, all the time men are abusing his patience, God is whetting his sword. And the longer it is whetting, the sharper will be the edge. So God's patience is a limit, and we need to help people understand that there is a limit. And we need to understand it ourselves so that we feel that sense of urgency in praying for our family and friends. And we feel that sense of urgency in speaking with them. They may think God is doing nothing, but God is waiting patiently, and they are trying His patience. And it is a dangerous place to be. And yet, as we go back to that word, long suffering, and we see that at the heart of God's patience is God saying, I would suffer rather than judge you. That shows us what we're to do with His patience. We're to go to the place where God suffered rather than judge us. Where God bore judgment. And we're to go to there, and we're to go to Jesus, and we're to say, will you take the judgment of God so there is no judgment left to fall on me? And there at the cross, we find the God who would rather suffer and bear judgment than come and bring judgment. But there at the cross, we see too that this God will bring judgment. That if He wouldn't spare His own Son, He's not going to spare those who reject His Son. If He wouldn't spare His Son when His Son was bearing sin, He's not going to spare us if we are still bearing our own sin. So if you haven't gone to Christ, go to Christ and seek His salvation while there's still time. Those of us who are Christians, we need to bow down and worship this God for His patience. We need to marvel at His patience now, because this is the only opportunity you will ever get to see His patience being displayed. You'll not get to see it in heaven. This is the only stage on which you can stop and look at the patience of God and see it and marvel at it. So let me encourage you to take time to do that, to marvel at the patience of God. And then let's not abuse His patience. Even those of us who are Christians, by continuing to sin once we're aware of our sin, presuming that He will just keep on being patient with us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we marvel at Your patience with us. You have been patient with us so long as a planet, so long as a nation, so long as individuals. And Lord God, we thank You. We thank You, Lord God, for Your patience. And we praise You, Lord God, for Your patience. We praise You for being patient with us day after day until we came to Christ. We praise You for being patient with us day after day after we came to Christ, and we still plither around in our sin. Oh, Lord God, thank You for Your patience. And thank You that we see at the cross this desire and this willingness to suffer, not just in being patient, but to go even further than being patient, to be long-suffering, not just in terms of waiting, but to actually suffer so that justice wouldn't fall on us. Lord God, we pray, we praise You too for Your patience with family and friends, perhaps even people here who don't know Jesus as their Savior. Oh Lord, we ask You to keep being patient with them, but let them see that Your patience has a purpose. And we pray that You would bring them to repentance and to trust in Jesus Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.